does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
It's the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
It's electric, and it feels probably 75-80% Purdue fans. But as Coach Painter always says, right, players got to give the crowd something to cheer about.
Lawyer, feed it. Edie, miss it. Oh!
Major highlight from Heidi.
Spin Newton, seven to shoot. Double from Colvin, it leaves Caravan open.
Wow, what a find by Newton.
Hey, Rav, you make a mistake, they make you pay.
Edie with a left hand, left it short, trying to score over Caravan on a left-handed hook shot. It's rebounded by Connecticut. We're down to 4:10 remaining in the game.
Oh, that's one. Zach definitely wants back.
Time quickly running out on the Boilermakers.
UConn fans on their feet behind head coach Dan Hurley. Shot clock down to four. Caravan, floated, clinging. Exclamation point.
It's been that kind of night for Purdue's perimeter shooting. Braden Smith will get a cheer from the Purdue crowd, and so will Zach Edey, as Zach Edey gets a hero's applause as he goes to the bench area.
It is a UConn coronation. The Huskies make history. Back-to-back national champions.
The real difference ended up being their ability to offensive rebound in the second half.
Yeah, they just did a really good job guarding the three, and we got in the paint plenty of times. We just didn't convert on a lot of them.
You can say whatever you want about me. You can say however I play. You can say whatever, but you can never say that I didn't give it my 100% every single time I stepped on the floor.
We put ourselves in a great position now, and we took advantage of it. We just came up a little bit short to a great team, but I told our guys in the locker room, like, you know, when you have the most wins in school history, you're the first team to win back-to-back championships by multiple games since 1976, which was the last undefeated team in college basketball, and you get, you know, an eyelash away from winning it all, like that, you know, that's the standard.
How the hell did Seton Hall beat UConn by 15? How the hell did UConn lose three games this past season?
Creighton almost beat him by 20.
Butler was super competitive with UConn twice this year. Pretty darn incredible. It's a cheat code. The UConn Huskies, Dan Hurley's quote is cocky as hell, and it is spot on. We make a hard tournament look really easy, and they did it to the second-best team in college basketball. Last night, the Purdue Boilermakers, in one of the more just head-scratching performances you'll see, given the fact that the three-point line has been such a weapon for them all season long. I don't know if UConn had an eclipse around the three-point line, but they seemed to do that. Just absolute suffocation of the perimeter. Lived with Zach Edey doing really what Zach Edey does, but no threes. That was the game plan executed absolutely beautifully for UConn. Good Tuesday morning to you. I'm Kevin Bowen, Andy Sweeney. And Mark Dykton, as always, Rick Carlisle going to join us here like he does every Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock, as the Pacers are, ironically enough, for Zach Edey, north of the border tonight against the Raptors. To me, Andy, just boil it down to that. I mean, unbelievable by Danny Hurley just to be so committed to letting Zach Edey go one-on-one. We're not going to help when Klingon's on the floor. Twos are not threes. We'll live with it. And that's what, to me, it just all boiled down to. Sure, the offensive rebounds, as he points out as well, but still, 1 of 7 from the three-point line. It's just an astonishing, very foreign number, both of those numbers, for Purdue, really, all season long.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. I'm interested today, as we sit here, the psyche of the Purdue fan. You know, you go into last night, you're trying to have confidence. You know, Edey is better than Klingon, and you know that, and you're like, okay, if we can dominate that side or that position, if you will, on the floor, maybe get some foul trouble, you never thought you would be that destitute, right, from the three-point line. So, you know, I'm stuck as we go today. You know, KB, I'm stuck between, you know, Matt Painter learned so much last year and the last few years about how he needed to change things. He needed to alter things. I don't know if you're the college basketball world and you're Purdue, for instance, and I know Zach Edey's gone and the team will be different as, you know, players move along. You look at what UConn is doing. What are the lessons you can learn? You know, if you're Matt Painter, I wonder when he goes back with his coaching staff, hey, you know, last year we lost early. We weren't athletic enough. We didn't shoot the three enough. You go out, you get a guy like Lance Jones, middle part of the season. Guys like Cam Heidi, by the way, his dunk easily the highlight of the night for Purdue. He goes up and gets it, and so he altered things. Now, you know, you look at how great UConn is, but boy, I thought last night, whether it be everybody outside of Edey and Braden Smith, just absolutely no-showed. I thought the body language by Purdue wasn't great when they realized, wow, we can't stop these guys, and these guys are doing a pretty damn good job of stopping us as well. So it's been a magical season, but it didn't have a magical ending.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. Nothing close to magical at all last night. I thought a couple things stood out to me game-wise. Certainly the first 12, 14 minutes. I mean, haymakers thrown both ways.
As good of a game as we've had.
Just an outstanding start. Edey was incredible. I thought the shot-making from Edey, like, he was making tough, tough shots. And I thought Bill Rafferty pointed it out so well. When Edey traveled there just, I think it was about 6:50, 7 minutes to go in the first half, he clearly was tired. And they hit a media timeout, and Caleb first goes in the game, and Donovan Klingon gets an and-one. And then on the other end, I think it might have been Trey Kaufman-Wren commits an offensive foul. And Edey is sat for 30 seconds,
yeah.
And Matt Painter can't sit him anymore.
No, he couldn't.
So he's back in the game, but that sequence right there, an Edey travel, an and one from Klingon with Edey on the bench, and then an offensive foul, it's just like the door gets cracked open for UConn, and then all of a sudden I just felt like the game tilted towards UConn. And even though Braden Smith hits, you know, the fadeaway three, it cuts it to two, you know, UConn gets a couple baskets there right before halftime, you just felt like, when that little sliver of hope all of a sudden allowed UConn to assert themselves, it was swimming upstream the rest of the way. And I'll do this a lot, I think, throughout the show, but I just cannot get over the lack of three-point attempts. And I don't say it, Andy, in that Purdue passed up great looks. I mean, they shot 7 threes. I believe I have this right. I think it's the fewest three-point attempts a Purdue team has had in 10 years.
Yeah, it's Indiana-like. It's Mike Woodson.
1 of 7.
Yeah.
So the one make is obviously a season low. Historically, CBS threw this up there late in the telecast last night. It's the fewest three-point attempts in a title game since 95. Back when maybe the three-point line wasn't used as much as teams utilize it nowadays. And again, I don't feel like this was a bunch of, well, no, Braden Smith, shoot that. Lance Jones, usually you have like a neon green light. Why are you passing that up? I mean, they just didn't get any clean looks whatsoever. UConn just absolutely suffocating. I said to you yesterday, my one like big worry I didn't give much attention to last week that I was reminded of in watching UConn Saturday night is, man, those guards can really defend. And they're big and they're long. And I just thought they ate Purdue up on the perimeter. And that was the difference. I mean, if you play out Purdue's averages from three, 8 of 20, that's Purdue's average as a lethal 3-point shooting team. I mean, if you want to play the math, I mean, right there is what? 1 3 versus 8, that's 21 points. That obviously makes a huge difference.
It's a big difference
in
right?
the game. And you didn't offset it with the free throw line. You know, there's been games this year where Purdue's only made, what, 4 or 5 threes. But they can offset it when they hit 20-some free throws. But when Klingon doesn't get that second foul in the first half, you don't live in the bonus as much as you have in previous games. Boy, unless that backup center would have got another 15 minutes for UConn and could have fouled Edey on every trip down the floor, you just weren't going to make up for it. So if you want to boil it down to the game itself, to me, it was just the absolute suffocation of Purdue behind the arc.
I don't know if you saw this, but Draymond Green, I'm blanking on the kid's name that fouled out, Sampson.
5 minutes, yeah, correct?
Draymond Green said, you really helped break Edey down. I'm like, everyone's like, bro, chill, man. Dude played 5 minutes and fouled out. He caught a couple lobs, but that had nothing to do with the general outcome of the game. You know, I hate doing this to Purdue fans. I thought last night, to be quite honest, KB, I thought it was worst case scenario. I thought it was worst case scenario because it's the second game in a row outside of, is it not, outside of Zach Edey, where we leave not thinking too much about their offense. Did you feel, I mean, you said that yesterday, that offensively, the NC State game, there wasn't a ton to take away other than that the Jones and Lawyer went to bed on Saturday night, Sunday morning, feeling pretty damn good about themselves. And obviously, and I was wrong, you were wrong on this particular item, that did not care. That had no carryover whatsoever. And it was worst case scenario because, you know, they allowed Edey to get his. And Edey talked about this after the game, that even as great as his numbers were and as good as he was at times during the game, you mentioned where he got tired there in the first half. There were lulls. And I swear to you, it was the first time that we saw Edey kind of have bad body language and be tired. So if you're a Purdue, guy, okay, and when I say it's worst case scenario, it's Edey's getting his and it doesn't matter. It's Edey looked tired for, in my estimation, you know, the first time that I could really remember him being tired to where, you know, the announcers are saying he's got to get out of the game. And Matt Painter had to go to Caleb First, who just could not play in this game whatsoever. And then, you know, Braden Smith was fine. He had 12 points, didn't shoot the ball well, back-to-back games. And then your guards just, A, they couldn't guard UConn's guards, and UConn's guards made it sure that all those shots, all those threes, all those good looks that we are so very accustomed to Purdue getting, they didn't get. And then, you know, you go to the bench. There was nothing. You know, Matt Painter tried to go to the bench. There was nothing on the bench. So you're not hitting threes. You're not getting to the free throw line. Edey, while being great, is compromised. And then the guard play, I'm sorry to Purdue fans, it looked like another level. And that's why, you know, last night you needed to knock down threes. You needed to get to the line. You needed a couple guys. You needed probably at least one of those guards along with Klingon to get in foul trouble. The foul line has saved them so very often this season, and it didn't last night. It was worst case scenario. They had no, you know, they jumped out of an airplane and the parachute didn't work over and over again.
Give major credit to Dan Hurley, who, you know, says to Tracy Wolfson there early on as Edey is looking like Shaq, like, wow, we're going to have to do some things differently. I mean, he was very blunt and very honest. And really, when Klingon was on the floor, they didn't do anything differently. I mean, he stood to that game plan of when Klingon is out there, we're going to live with the twos. And we know Donovan Klingon can make it at least somewhat tough on Edey, and he will wear him down eventually. And again, not getting Klingon second foul. I mean, you saw Klingon get real foul happy there in the second half.
Yep.
Like, there's precedent for that. But there was that moment there, I think 9 or 10 minutes, where I thought Klingon could have been called for a second, and they didn't call it. And it's just one of those things where, again, you have to be so damn perfect against UConn. And the game plan obviously switches when Klingon goes off the floor, because then the other kid gets in the game, and he's certainly absolutely cannot stay on the floor whatsoever. But yes, just a terrible night from Purdue's others. Really, I thought Braden Smith had a nice bounce back game. I know, you know, you can look at the shooting numbers, but I thought he quarterbacked it pretty well. But just to get nothing from Lawyer, nothing from Lance Jones, nothing from Gillis. Like, you got it. And those guys gave you something Saturday night.
I know.
I think that's what is extra frustrating. It's not, this is not Butler, UConn. Butler's in a dome and they can't throw it in the ocean. No, you shot it really well Saturday night. And yet you didn't even get any hope from behind the arc. And as I tweeted out at the final horn last night, it's the greatest 2-year run in my lifetime in college basketball. What UConn has just completed to go 12 of 12. In these tournament games, to cover all of them, to win all of them by at least 13 points, to have significant roster turnover. That's different than UNLV and Duke in the early 90s. That's different than Florida in 06 and 07. To have done that, and really, it's not like they just totally revamped it portal-wise from last year to this year.
That's not the case at all.
It is wildly impressive. Dan Hurley is psychotic. But, man, can he coach? I mean, I told you guys
Purdue had to beat them because of Dan Hurley's antics. And, boy, he was full of them last night, wasn't he?
plus one. I don't know if I've seen the two-hand shove to a player before.
With 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to
exactly,
go in the game.
With them leading by whatever it was, 17. A dozen or 15 at that point. They trailed for
six minutes
of a 240-minute tournament. Like, it's just, it's absurd what UConn now has done in back-to-back years. And I think just to kind of put a little bow tie Purdue-wise, the opportunity is not a given. You know, the opportunity is not a given. Now, Purdue had unbelievable health all year long. The same starting lineup for the entire season. That's never happened in school history. They didn't have the Haas elbow, the Hummel ACL. Hell, they didn't have the Jamal Shedd turn of an ankle in the Sweet 16. And now Houston is done. And obviously you're going to lose a generational talent. Now, you know, Purdue made, what, two Sweet 16s and Elite Eight in three consecutive years right before Zach Edey arrived, back in 2020. So they clearly have done this before, and they will look a lot different. I mean, if you just look at them from a wing standpoint, if you want to project out, Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi and Kanan Ketchings, who's coming in, I mean, that's a very different-looking kind of guard wing-oriented offense. And, you know, what does Trey Kaufman Wren look like when you commit him to a little bit more minutes? But obviously, it's just going to look such a 180 from how they've played here in these past few years through Zach Edey.
One last thing. I think you mentioned what stood out to me in the game, and that is, you know, we don't sit here today and Lawyer and Jones missed a bunch of shots. I think this
they didn't get clean looks.
This is the most key thing of the game, and I would love to, you know, I know we had Tom Crean yesterday, but, you know, I'd almost love to pick the brain of a coach, of someone, a basketball Betty, if you will, that knows what is going on there, how next level UConn was, not only in their play, but their dedication to the game plan that, you know, if Lawyer stood out there and was chucking threes and Jones stood out there and they were chucking threes, we could walk in here and today and say they just shot a bad percentage, or we could nitpick on the type of shots, KB, that they made, but they never got the abundance of opportunities. And just think about, you don't have to go back to just the NC State game, but one reason that they have raised their profile this year as a team with the three-point shooting is because of the looks that they get. I mean, Matt Painter, and using the inside game of Zach Edey and the point guard savviness, if you will, of Braden Smith, having a point guard and having a big like Edey, I mean, the thing that you get from that offense and from that improved offense is you get looks. That's the crazy thing. You're right about last night is they didn't get the looks. At times, they didn't have the opportunity to even step to the line and miss that shot. And that's some next level stuff from UConn, dude.
And it's a total 180 from what NC State did Saturday night.
Totally.
NC State, and they had some success with Edey in turning him over on Saturday night, but, you know, UConn looked at it, and, you know, I kind of had to laugh. This is always how, now, of course, Notre Dame basketball never had a player like Donovan Klingon, but Mike Bray was always a no, threes are worth more than twos. We'll single team the big guy all game long. We'll live with that because you won't be as disciplined to throw it in the post.
Right.
And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that has to happen for that big, you know, in a way. The big guy at times can be like a running back in the NFL. Of like, no, I mean, we will live with it. We're not going to let you hit, you know, the 40-yarder.
Yeah, go get 3.5 yards.
And go back to the first half, Andy. Purdue had 2 3-point attempts the entire first half.
And one was at the very end. One was Lawyer's heave at the end, was
which
it not?
For some reason,
did that count?
I don't think they counted
okay.
that. But the two was the Braden Smith late clock fadeaway in front of the UConn bench, which went in. And the other one was Miles Colvin, a challenge three, somewhat late clock as well. Like, again, I don't feel like this was a guy's afraid of the moment, passing it around the horn, and we're looking for the best shot. It was just an absolute.
It wasn't there.
Yeah, just an absolute, again, suffocation of the three-point line for UConn. Again, Rick Carlisle going to join us here coming up at 8. Certainly a lot of reaction to this. We'll get some audio as well as Zach Edey's career comes to a close. It's crazy to think, you know, at times I thought Edey was just a step or two off, and yet he still has 37.
I know.
I mean, like,
the same thing.
Part of me is like, Kevin, like, don't even say that. But my eyes, I don't think, totally lied. It just seemed like
it wasn't his best game.
Maybe a
but
few rebounds that he usually has. Right. And UConn, 14 offensive rebounds. That is a huge stat as
we
well.
We talked about it. No, the length of the guards and then offensive rebounding. Boy, that was the key last night.